أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih V, Ayyadahullah Ta'ala ibn Aziz stated, before Jalsa Salana, UK, accounts related to the Battle of Muraisi were being mentioned. It was stated that Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul made deplorable comments about the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and demonstrated his hypocritical ways. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib radiallahu anhu writes about this incident in the life and character of the Seal of the Prophets. At the end of this war, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in Muraisi for a few days. However, during this stay, an untoward incident took place which almost led to the outbreak of civil war between the weaker Muslims. However, the wisdom and magnetic influence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saved the Muslims from the dangerous outcomes of this mischief. It so happened that a servant of Hazrat Umar named Jahja went to the main spring in Muraisi to fetch some water. Coincidentally, another person named Sinan, who was from among the confederates of the Ansar, arrived at the spring as well. Both of these individuals were ignorant commoners. An altercation ensued between the two of them at the spring, and Jahja struck Sinan. That did it. And Sinan began to scream and shout, O people of the Ansar, come to my aid, I have been beaten. When Jahja saw that Sinan was calling his people to aid him, he also began to call for his own. O Muhajireen, come hither, run. When the Ansar and Muhajireen heard this voice, a multitude of them rushed towards the spring with their swords in hand, and before they knew it, quite a large horde of people had gathered. Certain ignorant youngsters were about to attack each other, but a few wise and faithful Muhajireen and Ansar arrived on the scene in time, who immediately separated the people and reconciled between them. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received news of this, he stated that this was a manifestation of ignorant conduct and expressed his displeasure. In this way, the matter was settled. However, when news of this occurrence reached Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who was also present in this ghazwa, this evil man desired to revive this disorder. He greatly incited his followers against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And said, this is all your own fault. It is you who have granted refuge to these strangers and allowed them to rule upon you. You still have an opportunity to relinquish your support for them, and they shall leave themselves. Eventually, this wretched man went so far as to say, لَئِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. Meaning, just wait and see. Now when we arrive to Medina, the most honored man or people shall exile the most disgraceful person or people from the city. At the time, a sincere young man from among the Muslims named Zayd bin Arqam was present. Upon hearing these words regarding the Holy Prophet ﷺ from the mouth of Abdullah, he became restless and conveyed news of this incident to the Holy Prophet through his paternal uncle. At the time, Hazrat Umar was sitting in the company of the Holy Prophet, and upon hearing these words, he became inflamed in anger and indignation. He submitted to the Holy Prophet, "O Messenger of Allah, grant me permission. I will behead this hypocritical and seditious man." The Holy Prophet responded, "Let it be, Umar. Would you like people to spread the news that Muhammad kills his own followers?" Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ summoned Abdullah bin Ubay and his followers and inquired of them as regards to this matter. They all swore that they had not said such things. Some from among the Ansar also interceded and submitted. Perhaps Zayd bin Arqam may have been mistaken. On this occasion, the Holy Prophet accepted the statement of Abdullah bin Ubay and his followers and rejected the submission of Zayd. Upon this, Zayd was deeply grieved. But Quranic revelation was later sent down in confirmation of Zayd, and the hypocrites were declared to be liars. The Holy Prophet ﷺ summoned Abdullah bin Ubay and his followers to inform them of this confirmation and instructed Hazrat Umar to order an immediate departure. It was noon, and generally the Holy Prophet ﷺ would not depart at such an hour, because due to the climate in Arabia, this was a time of intense heat and it was extremely difficult to travel at this time. However, in light of the prevalent circumstances, the Holy Prophet considered it best to depart at once. Therefore, according to his command, the Muslim army prepared to depart immediately. It was perhaps on this very occasion that Usayd bin Hudayr Ansari, who was a very renowned chieftain of the Aus tribe, presented himself before the Holy Prophet ﷺ and submitted, "O Messenger of Allah, you do not normally march at this time of day. What has happened today?" The Holy Prophet said, "Usayd, have you not heard the words of Abdullah bin Ubay? He says that once we arrive to Medina, the most honored individual shall cast out the meanest." Usayd spontaneously said, "Indeed, O Messenger of Allah, you may certainly throw out Abdullah from Medina. By God, it is you who are the most honorable, and it is he who is most disgraceful." Then Usayd went on to submit, "O Messenger of Allah, you are aware that prior to your arrival, Abdullah bin Ubay was very revered amongst his people, and they were about to accept him as a king. But this was mixed to dust when you arrived. Due to this reason, his heart harbors jealousy towards you. Do not care for his nonsense and forgive him." In another narration, it is recorded that when the son of Abdullah bin Ubay found out about all of this and came to know of Hazrat Umar's conversation, he presented himself before the Holy Prophet and said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you intend to execute my father on account of the news that has reached you, then instruct me. By Allah, I will bring you his head before the people leave from this gathering. By Allah, the people of Khazraj know that among them there is no one better than me in treatment of their parents. O Messenger of Allah, I fear that if you order someone else to kill my father, then I will not be able to tolerate seeing the murderer of my father walking amongst the people." and I will kill him and enter the fire. I.e., if someone else kills him, he may in turn kill that individual out of anger. The forgiveness of the Holy Prophet is most excellent, and the kindness of the Holy Prophet is most magnificent. Having heard him, the Holy Prophet said, O Abdullah, I neither intend to kill him, nor have I ordered anyone to do so. We will most certainly treat him with kindness as long as he remains among us. Abdullah said, O Messenger of Allah, the people of this town had agreed on crowning my father. Then Allah the Almighty brought you here, and He lowered him and elevated us through you. The son of Abdullah bin Ubay is saying this. There are some people with him who visit him frequently and remind him of the things over which Allah the Almighty has already prevailed. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib states, the son of Abdullah bin Ubay, whose name was Habbab, but the Holy Prophet changed it to Abdullah. In any case, in accordance with the instructions of the Holy Prophet, the return journey commenced. Further details in relation to this have been recorded as follows. The remainder of that day, the entire night, and the start of the following day were all spent by the Holy Prophet in continuous journey. As the sun was troubling the people, the Holy Prophet set up camp, and as soon as they dismounted, they fell asleep. Throughout this journey, not a single person dismounted his ride unless in order to attend the call of nature or offering the prayers. The Holy Prophet would urge his mount to move on ahead and use the whip for its hind legs. The Holy Prophet undertook this lengthy journey so that people would forget what Abdullah bin Ubay did the previous day. It is mentioned in a narration that the Holy Prophet ﷺ was traveling that day while Zaid bin Arqam was on his mount beside him. The Holy Prophet could see his face. The Holy Prophet was kicking his heels on his mount for it to speed up. At that moment, he began to receive revelation. Hazrat Zaid bin Arqam relates, I witnessed that an uneasiness overtook the Holy Prophet. His forehead was full of sweat, and the front legs of his mount became heavy to the point that they nearly collapsed, i.e., they nearly gave way. I understood that the Holy Prophet was receiving revelation, because this was his condition when he would receive revelation. I became hopeful that the news testifying to my truthfulness would be sent down. Hazrat Zaid bin Arqam continues, when this condition of the Holy Prophet passed, the Holy Prophet grabbed my ear whilst I was on my mount, until I got up from my seat. The Holy Prophet stated, young man, your ears were loyal, and Allah testified to your truthfulness, i.e. the revelation indeed was regarding him. In another narration, Hazrat Zaid bin Arqam states, I was traveling alongside the Holy Prophet, and I had my head lowered out of sorrow. The Holy Prophet came towards me. He gently tapped my ear and smiled. In exchange for this one smile, I would not be happier if I were to be given an eternal life. He says, I was so joyful seeing this smile that it was more valuable to me than my entire life. He then says, Hazrat Abu Bakr then met me and asked, what did the Holy Prophet say to you? I responded, he did not say a word to me, but he tapped my ear and smiled at me. He then said, glad tidings to you. Then Hazrat Umar met me, and I said the same as I had to Hazrat Abu Bakr. It is mentioned in a narration that when Surah Al-Munafiqun was revealed, the Holy Prophet ﷺ called for Zaid. He then recited those verses and said, Inna Allaha qad sadaqaka. i.e., verily, Allah has testified to your truthfulness. Hence, after the revelation of Surah Al-Munafiqun, Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit passed by Ibn Ubay, but did not send greetings of peace upon him. Then Aws bin Khawli passed by him, and he too did not greet him with the greetings of peace. Seeing this, Ibn Ubay said, "What is it that the two of you are colluding?" Hearing this, these two companions approached him and rebuked and reproached him severely over this act, saying that the Holy Quran had revealed something which proved his word to be false. Aws bin Khawli said, "I shall never speak of you again until I am certain that you have forsaken your ways and have sought repentance from Allah. We continue to curse Zayd bin Arqam on your account, that you had spoken falsely about a man from your own people, until Zayd's truthfulness came to light and the seal of the Quranic verses was placed over your lies." When the Holy Prophet ﷺ instructed his companions to depart, Abdullah bin Ubay's son, Hazrat Abdullah, went in front of the people and stood in place of his father. When he saw his father, he stopped him and said, "I will not let you go until you attest that you are the most disgraced and Muhammad ﷺ is the most honored." The Holy Prophet was passing by and said, "Let him go. By my life, we shall most certainly treat him with kindness so long as he remains among us." Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes the following in relation to this. Abdullah bin Ubay was so incensed against his father that when the Muslim army set back for Medina, Abdullah stood before his father and blocked his passage, saying, "By God, I shall not permit you to return until you confess with your own tongue that the Holy Prophet ﷺ is most honored and you are the most disgraced." Abdullah pressed his father to such an extent that finally he was compelled to say these words, upon which Abdullah left him free to proceed. When the return journey began, the remainder of that day, the entire night, and the start of the following day were all spent by the Muslim army in continuous march. When camp was finally set up, the people were so terribly exhausted that they all fell into deep sleep. Hence, in this matter, through the wisdom of the Holy Prophet, the people's attention was diverted away from this unpleasant incident and redirected to something else for quite an extended period of time. Through His grace, Allah the Exalted safeguarded the Muslims from the mischief of the hypocrites. In actuality, it had always been the effort of the hypocrites to spur a state of civil war and internal division amongst the Muslims, and if it was possible to lower the position of the Holy Prophet in their eyes. However, Islam and the magnetic personality of the Holy Prophet ﷺ had created such a bond of unity amongst the Muslims that no conspiracy could fracture it. Such feelings of respect and veneration, loyalty and faithfulness and love and affection had taken root in the hearts of the Muslims for the Holy Prophet that it was not in the power of man to shake these emotions. As such, just contemplate this occurrence alone. When Abdullah bin Ubay, chief of the hypocrites, attempted to capitalize on a temporary conflict between the two common Muslims and somehow sow the seed of dissension and discord between the Muslims and injure the love and awe of the Holy Prophet. However, he was met with absolute failure and was made to drink from the goblet of humiliation at the hands of his own son in such a manner that perhaps he never forgot it until his last breath. It is written in another narration that after this incident, whenever Abdullah bin Ubay would say something like this, the people of his tribe would reprimand him and tell him to desist. When the Messenger of Allah learned of this, he said to Hazrat Umar, "Umar, what do you say now? If on that day I had commanded for him to be killed like you had advised me, people would have started thinking ill of me and turned away. Now, if I were to ask any of the same people to kill him, they will certainly do it. since the truth has become self-evident. Hazrat Umar recounts that by God, I realized that the opinion of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is far more blessed than my own. Whilst mentioning the battle of Banu Mustalik and the incident with Abdullah bin Ubay, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu writes, because the Meccan disbelievers were bent upon mischief and friendly tribes were turning hostile, the hypocrites among Muslims had also ventured on this occasion to take part in the battle on the Muslim side. They probably thought that they might have a chance to do some mischief. The encounter with the Banu Mustalik was over in a few hours. The hypocrites, therefore, did not have any chance to do any mischief during the battle. The Holy Prophet, however, decided to stay in a town of Banu Mustalik for a few days. During his stay, a quarrel arose between a Muslim of Meccan origin and a Medinite Muslim over drawing water from a well. The Meccan happened to be an ex-slave. He struck the Medinite, who raised an alarm, crying out for fellow Medinites known as the Ansar. The Meccan also raised an alarm and cried out for fellow Meccans, i.e. the Muhajirin. A commotion erupted. Nobody inquired what had happened. There was heightened emotions and a fight began. This is how disorder spreads. Young men on both sides drew their swords. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul thought it a godsend. He decided to add fuel to the fire. Addressing the Muslims of Medina, he said, you have gone too far in your indulgence to the Muhajirin. Your good treatment of them has turned their heads, and now they are trying to dominate you in every way. The speech might have had the effect which Abdullah desired. The quarrel might have assumed serious proportions, but it did not. Abdullah was wrong in assessing the effect of his mischievous speech. Believing, however, that the Ansar were being persuaded, he went so far as to say, let us return to Medina. Then will the most honored among its citizens turn out the most despised. By the most honored citizen, he meant himself, and by the most despised, he meant the Prophet, God forbid. As soon as he said this, believing Muslims were able to see through the mischief. It was not an innocent speech they had listened to, they said, but the speech of Satan, who had come to lead them astray. A young man stood up and reported to the Holy Prophet through his uncle. The Holy Prophet sent for Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul and his friends and asked them what had happened. Abdullah and his friends denied that they had taken any such part as had been attributed to them in this incident. The Holy Prophet said nothing, but the truth began to spread. In the course of time, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul's own son, Abdullah, also heard about it. Abdullah at once saw the Holy Prophet and said, O Prophet, my father has insulted you. Death is his punishment. If you decide so, I would rather have you command me to kill my father. If you command someone else and my father dies at his hands, I may be led to avenge my father by killing that man. Maybe I incur the displeasure of God in this way. As there still was an effect of those people on them as well. He said it would be best if he were commanded to kill his father. But, said the Prophet, I have no such intention. I will treat your father with compassion and consideration. When Abdullah compared the disloyalty and discourtesy of his father with the compassion and kindness of the Prophet, his faith only increased further. In the same way, his anger towards his father also grew in proportion. When the army reached close to Medina, he stopped his father on the way and said, He would not let him go further on the road to Medina until he had withdrawn the words he had used against the Holy Prophet. The lips which said, "The Prophet is despised and you are honored," must now say, "The Prophet is honored and you are despised." Until you say this, I will not let you go further. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was astonished and frightened and said, "I agree, my son, that Muhammad is honored and that I am despised." Young Abdullah then let his father go. During this journey, an incident took place where the Holy Prophet's camel went missing at a certain spot where they had set up camp. The details of this event are as follows. Upon returning from the Banu Mustalik, the Prophet Muhammad stopped at a spring called Fawaik al-Naqi or Baqa. Baqa is located on the upper side of Naqi, and Naqi is situated 40 kilometers south of Medina. In any case, the Muslims let their animals graze at this location. And during this time, a strong sandstorm arose. Due to this storm, the Prophet ﷺ's camel, Qaswa, went missing. The Muslims began searching for it in every direction. Zayd bin Nusayt Ansari was also part of one of the groups. He was a hypocrite. Also part of this group was Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr bin Waqsh, Salama bin Salama, and Usayd bin Hudayr. Zayd bin Nusayt was from the Jewish tribe of Banu Qainqa and was considered one of the Jewish scholars who had seemingly become a Muslim but remained Jewish at heart. This hypocrite, i.e. Zayd bin Nusayt, said, "Why are people running around?" They said that they are searching for the Holy Prophet's camel, which is missing. Nusayt said, "Why does Allah not inform him that it is in such and such location?" The companions found his statement strange. They said, "O enemy of Allah the Almighty, may the Lord Almighty destroy you. You are a hypocrite." When he made this statement, the believers realized that this statement was replete with hypocrisy. They said, "You are a hypocrite." Then Hazrat Usayd bin Hudayr turned his attention to him and said, "If I did not fear the reaction of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, I would have put this spear straight through you. O enemy of God, if you had this hypocrisy in your heart, then why did you come out with us?" He replied, "I came out to gain worldly provisions." His intent became exposed and some other things came to light. Sarcastically, he said, "By God, the Holy Prophet informs us of much greater matters. He informs us about heavenly matters. So why would it not be possible for him to inform us about the camel? The Holy Prophet says that Allah the Almighty bestows great prophecies, gives him knowledge of the unseen. Why does he not give news about the camel?" He began making hypocritical statements. Those who were present there rushed towards him and said, "By God, if we had known that you had such thoughts in your heart, we would not have spent even a moment together with you. Now we cannot stay together." Out of fear, he fled from there, afraid that the companions might attack him. They threw his belongings that he left there outside. In any case, he ran away, hiding from the companions. He went and sought refuge with the Holy Prophet. By that time, revelation had already descended upon the Holy Prophet from the heavens regarding what he had said. While that hypocrite was listening, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "One of the hypocrites is rejoicing over the misfortune that the Holy Prophet's camel has gone missing. He says, 'Why does Allah not inform him that it is in such and such place?' Because I swear by my life, Muhammad has informed us about matters far greater than this." The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "No one knows the unseen except Allah the Almighty." The Holy Prophet said all this while the hypocrite was sitting there. The Holy Prophet then said, Allah the Almighty has informed me about where the camel is. It is in such and such ravine, with its reins entangled in a tree. Go in that direction. The noble companions went in that direction and found it exactly as the Holy Prophet had told them. When the hypocrite saw this, he was dumbfounded. He quickly went to the companions who were with him. When he approached them, the companions said, Do not come near us. He said, I want to say something to you. He went closer to them and said, I ask you, in the name of Allah the Almighty, has anyone from among you gone to the Holy Prophet and informed him of what I said? They replied, No, by God, we have not even left our gathering. He said, I have seen the people discussing what I said, and the Holy Prophet informed them of this matter. Then that person told them everything that the Holy Prophet had said, and that the camel had been found. He said, I had doubts about the Holy Prophet, but now I testify that he is indeed the true messenger of Allah the Almighty. It is as if I have accepted Islam today. After this incident, he said, Now I wholeheartedly accept Islam. The companion said, Go to the Holy Prophet so that he may seek forgiveness for you. Thus he went to the Holy Prophet and sought forgiveness and confessed his sin. Ibn Ishaq narrates that some people believe that Zayd, i.e. the hypocrite, repented, while others say that he did not repent. In any case, there are a few more incidents related to this, which will be discussed in the future. At this time, I wish to request prayers for the conditions in Bangladesh. There was an uprising against the government there, and the government was overthrown. However, disorder persists. It is said that there were some improvements yesterday. Because of this, factions in opposition to the Jamaat have taken advantage and are causing harm to Ahmadis. Some of our mosques were vandalized and burned. Jami Ahmadiyya and other Jamaat buildings were damaged. It was attacked and things were burned. Some Ahmadis have been severely injured. They were beaten up and suffered injuries. Many Ahmadi houses have been damaged and burned. Regarding some houses, it is reported that they have been razed to the ground. Some had their possessions burnt. There is absolute lawlessness. And Ahmadis have now suffered loss in that area twice, once before during their Jalsa and now in this incident. However, their faith has not wavered in the slightest. By the grace of Allah, they are firm in their faith. And they have said that they will bear this for the sake of Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty bestow His mercy and blessings and keep Ahmadis under His protection. And seize the opponents. Similarly, pray for the circumstances of Ahmadis in Pakistan, as difficult circumstances are prevailing there as well. May Allah the Almighty protect them against every evil. These days, clerics and those seeking their own benefit have become more active in opposition of Ahmadis. They are committing cruelties in the name of Allah the Almighty and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah the Almighty ensure the means for them to be seized swiftly. Pray for the Muslims in Palestine as well. May Allah the Almighty seize those committing injustices against them, and may these cruelties come to an end. Pray generally for the Muslim world. May the cruelties that they are perpetrating against one another come to an end. May they become those who truly establish a connection with Allah the Almighty, and may they accept the Imam of the age. For this is the only path to their survival and salvation. However, these people fail to understand this. At this time, I will also lead two funeral prayers and I will make mention of the deceased. The first mention is of respected Zakaur Rahman Sahib Shaheed, son of Chaudhary Abdul Rahman Sahib of Lala Musa district of Gujarat. He was recently martyred during the days of Jalsa. On 27th of July at around 9:30 a.m., two unknown individuals entered his clinic and opened fire, resulting in his martyrdom. Verily to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. He was 53 years old. According to the details, Dr. Zakaur Rahman Sahib Shaheed had opened his clinic as per his routine, and he was sitting there when two unknown and masked individuals arrived at 9:30 a.m. on a motorcycle. One of them entered the clinic while the other remained standing outside the clinic. The person who entered the clinic opened fire on respected Dr. Sahib, as a result of which he was struck by three bullets. One of them struck him in the chest near his heart, one in his stomach, and one struck his hand. After the incident, both perpetrators managed to flee. Upon hearing the firing, respected Dr. Shaheed Sahib's neighbor went to the clinic and found Dr. Sahib in an injured state. Dr. Sahib Shaheed tried to tell his neighbor something. However, he vomited blood and passed away. Verily to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. At the time of his martyrdom, he was alone in Pakistan as his wife was in the UK attending the Jalsa Salana. Ahmadiyyat was established in Dr. Zakaur Rahman Shaheed Sahib's family through Hazrat Hafiz Ahmadine Sahib radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, from Chak Sikandar, who was also amongst the 313 companions. The deceased martyr's great paternal grandfather, respected Naik Alam Sahib, who was Hazrat Hafiz Ahmadine Sahib's nephew, did bayat on 10th of June 1901, after which he also had the honor of pledging allegiance directly at the hand of the Promised Messiah during his journey to Jhelum. There was another martyr in his family as well, Khalil Ahmed Sulangi Sahib, who was martyred in Lahore and was the cousin of the late Dr. Zakaur Rahman Sahib. The deceased martyr had the opportunity to serve the Jamaat in various capacities. He served as the finance secretary for Lala Musa district Gujarat for an extended period of time. At the time of his martyrdom, he was serving as the local president. He was regular in offering financial contributions and he would help the poor and needy. As a form of tabligh, he would bring his friends to visit the headquarters when he was young and the conditions were better. Writing about Dr. Zakaur Rahman Sahib Shaheed, the Amir of Gujarat district says, the deceased martyr possessed many good qualities, of which making financial sacrifices was prominent. His quality of obedience to Jamaat officials and most of all, Khilafat Ahmadiyya was also very evident. He would meet everyone happily and with a smile on his face. He was brimming with the passion of serving humanity. Dr. Sahib Shaheed would often treat the poor for free. He was in good standing with the non-Ahmadis in his area, which was mentioned by non-Ahmadis themselves after his martyrdom. And some non-Ahmadis even attended his funeral. Amir Sahib writes, prior to Eid al-Adha in 2024, Dr. Sahib mentioned to me that some government officials had come to him and said that his life was in danger and that until Eid, he should not sit at his clinic. However, he was brave and continued sitting at his clinic. The deceased is survived by his wife, respected Nagina Rafiq Sahiba, one son and three daughters. Two his daughters are married and one daughter is studying in Germany. May Allah the Almighty elevate the martyr's station, grant patience to his family, and enable his children to carry on the legacy of his virtues. The second funeral announcement is for Sayyida Bashir Sahiba, the wife of Malik Bashir Ahmed Sahib. She also passed away recently at the age of 83. Verily to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. The deceased was a Musia. She is survived by one son and two daughters. She was the mother of Malik Ghulam Ahmed Sahib, a missionary in Ghana, who, due to being in the field, was unable to attend his mother's funeral and burial. Her son, Ghulam Ahmed Sahib, who is a missionary, narrates that Ahmadiyyat entered their family through his paternal grandfather, Hazrat Malik Allah Baksh Sahib, radiallahu anhu, a companion of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. He was a devout and righteous person who, upon witnessing the solar and lunar eclipses, travelled on foot from Lodhra to Qadian to pledge allegiance. His mother was also fortunate to receive the affection of Hazrat Ammajan, Hazrat Nusrat Jahan Begum Sahiba. Ghulam Ahmad Sahib shares that his mother used to tell them about the love she received from Hazrat Ammajan in Rabwa. She said, "I stayed with her, and for some reason I did not like eating bread. Despite the hardships, Hazrat Ammajan used to give me money to buy a roll from the market, which I would then eat with milk." She also recalled, "Once when I was crying as a child, Hazrat Ammajan lovingly sat me on her lap, comforted me, and fed me with her own hands." Ghulam Ahmad Sahib further mentions that his mother was raised like an orphan child, but the pure company of Hazrat Ammajan, Hazrat Khalid Masih II radiallahu anhu, and other elders had a profound impact on her. She was regular in offering the tahajjud prayers throughout her life and was diligent in her regular prayers. Not only did she maintain her own prayers, but she also encouraged her children to do the same. Despite her weak eyesight, she would complete the recitation of the Holy Quran 2 or 3 times during Ramadan. She had a deep love, loyalty, and sincerity towards Khilafat. She would listen to the sermons and addresses of the Khalifa with great attention and in complete silence. One of her notable qualities, as mentioned by her son, was that she strongly disliked speaking to others in a loud voice. If the children ever spoke loudly, she would admonish them. Her son states that he always observed her as a true and faithful companion to her husband, and she instilled in her children the importance of regular prayers, taught them Yasun al-Quran, and then taught them the Holy Quran. She deeply embedded the love of Khilafat and the community system in their hearts. She would often express her desire to visit the mosque in Sialkot, so that she too could offer the prayers in the blessed places where the promised Messiah alayhi salam had offered prayers. Ghulam Ahmad Sahib mentions that coincidentally he was posted to Sialkot, so he took his parents to Sialkot. His mother offered prayers and nawafil with great emotion in every part of the mosque and expressed her gratitude to Allah the Almighty for fulfilling her heartfelt wish. She was very devout in her prayers, remained content with the will of Allah the Almighty, and was completely detached from the impurities and desires of the world. She was a sincere and exemplary woman in every respect. May Allah the Almighty grant her forgiveness and mercy. May her virtues continue in her children and future generations.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر